Today I'll be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 from the New King James Version. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a pretty song. Good morning. What a week, huh? Does it feel like God's slowly removing his protection from the wild passions of a selfish nature? Wasn't that somewhat prophesied about? Just think of the number of people, just in the United States alone, who've been touched by tragedy in the last few months. Hurricanes destroyed property, people's lives. Some people lost their life, lost everything. And now these shootings in Las Vegas. You know, I know several people involved in that were touched by the hurricanes. In many digs, it involved thousands. I also have a patient who's intimately related with a shooting victim in Vegas. I know somebody from my past when I was a kid that lives in Las Vegas, and his wife and his daughter were at a concert at the exact same arena 1 week earlier. So, in these, I believe, the closing days of this world, I think we need to strengthen each other. Like our text says in Hebrews, I'm going to add one more to it, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I want to thank all of you for being here. We're in the midst of a hiatus without a pastor, and I thank you for your faithful church attendance. I want to thank the elders, Hugh and Kevin. We are few, but they work. Yeah, they try and do all they can for the congregation. The deacons, who just quietly go about their duties and care for the church. I thank them. Colleen. Boy, we communicate a lot. She does a lot. I have nothing without her. And I want to thank you for that. And today, we have a sharing Sabbath. And we did this a couple of months ago. This was the brainchild of Kevin, who probably got his instruction from God. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was uplifting. I learned more about people right here. I learned trials they were having that were unknown. I learned victories that they had that I didn't know. It encouraged me. And I think it drew us closer. And Kevin talked, without knowing it, talked a little bit about this in Sabbath school about family, that we are a family. We need to lift each other up. James 5 says, James 5:13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And I think that's what we're going to do by some of our testimonies. Number one, if there is suffering, it will share the burden. If there's a need for prayer, we will pray. If there is a victory, we will all revel in it. So we'll have a couple of traveling mics. I don't see Mike Porter. I would have made him one of them just because it's funny. And like I say, if you have a need or a worry, I want you to share that with your family.
Why don't we have a roving rod?
A roving rod. I'm going to get Kevin too. If you have a need for prayer, we'll do that too. If you have a praise or a victory or a miracle, I ask that you please share that, as we are to dwell on these things. And my own, briefly to start, and we'll keep this brief. There are a few people that have agreed to say something. You never know. I never was one to talk in public. Still don't like it. And I fully understand that. There's a lot of wallflowers, and that's fine. We need those. They hold up the walls. But there are a couple of people that have agreed to talk, so don't feel panicky if we don't have somebody that doesn't hold their hand up. But I want to start. I was gone last week. I was actually in Nevada, not down in Vegas, but northern Nevada. And I haven't seen Karen. I hear she was back last week, and I am thankful that Karen is back with us. And yes, I'm glad to see Dale too. And so Kevin has a mic, and if somebody has a witness or a testimony, that is our strength, and we're gonna start with that.
Morning. It's amazing how God works in us and the message we receive from God. Excuse me. 2 of the last 4 weeks, on Sabbath morning, I woke up and read my devotional, and the verse that came to me by way of my phone, it's a devotional that comes on my phone every day. I get to church on Sabbath, it's the same verse. What's the odds that? Well, Janelle talked about prayer and the importance of prayer and how powerful it is. We come to the Lord asking in our prayers for ourselves and for each other. And for those of us that have children, our children come to us daily and they need, they want. For those of you that have children, when they come to you and offer something to you, how good does that feel? So, a few months passed. I was at a very, very low point in my life. And I won't get into too much detail about that because it's still going on, but I was on my bed, bawling like a little schoolgirl, praying to the Lord that I wanted out. I'm so sick of this world. So much hate, deceit, lies. It's incredible. From people that are supposed to love you. Claim to love you. So most of us at some point in our lives have prayed to God and asked, Lord, if you give me this, I will do this. I will, you know, it's kind of a thing that we do when we're young, when we really want something. So I was at this point, and I cried out to God. And he literally lifted me off the bed. I could feel him lift me off the bed. And I gave myself to him.
Amen.
I said, I want out of this world. I'm yours. Do with me with what you want to do with me. I don't care. Just take me out of here. And God hears those prayers. He hears all our prayers. But I think when we come to him and offer ourselves to him, that's when he really knows that it's time to answer those prayers. And so I gave myself to the Lord, and he has me working for him. I was directed by him. So now on Wednesdays, I go pass out food to hungry people. And the gift I get from that is unmeasurable. So I ask you all, as you're praying for others and you pray for yourselves, offer yourself up to the Lord and ask him what you can do for him, because there's a lot of work to do. And as menial as it might seem to you, it probably means a lot to him. And speaking of prayer, I'm a little bit privy to item number 12, announcement. What has to do with prayer in the church. I urge you to pray for that.
Thank you. We'll go. Dave?
As you know, my family and extended with my siblings. There's been a couple times in this past week, in the previous week, that I thought we were going to lose my sister to cancer. She's pretty weak, but her faith is strong. And I just would like to have prayer for my family and a prayer for my sister, to give us strength and God's will for her.
Let's just pray. Dear Father, again, we just come to you and realize who you are. We've seen your mighty hand in our lives. We've experienced your power. We've seen the lives of our family here changed because of you. So, dear Father, we come to you this morning, and we know that you have the power, that you have the strength to do whatever you desire. So, dear Father, we just want to lift up the Beckner family to you. Dear Father, Sue has been such a strength to so many of us in her trial, and that is a gift that you have given her. Dear Father, if it is your will, heal her. But, dear Father, if it's not, if it is time for her to rest, then, dear Father, give each one of us the strength to accept it, to know that we will see her again, that when you come, she will be raised again to continue what she's doing now, and that's to honor and glorify your name. Be with the family, dear Lord. Give them strength and courage. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, cancer respects none. There was a study done that said that if we lived long enough, we'd all have cancer of some sort. It's just one of the devil's ways of attempting to destroy that God created. And it shows a clear distinction between the two, life or death. any others.
Morning. I'm reminded very often that we live in a world that can change rapidly. The plans that you have for tomorrow, they can change and sharing very fast. Last week, my kids and I, we went to the park just to have fun, enjoy it. And things changed very fast. As we were thinking, I'm leaving, they were playing, and suddenly a lady came by running towards me and said, "Your daughter just fell, and she's crying." So I just went, and they were in exercising in one of the parks, and Isa, my daughter, fell backwards and hit her head and on the concrete, on the cement. And I, of course, she was crying, and you know, as a parent, you don't want to see, or it hurts you to see your kids in that kind of shape. I see it in the back of the head, and it was a little bit of blood. So I took her right away to the one place, emergency care. And they saw her, and they said, "Well, you know, you need to go to the ER because maybe there's a CAT scan machine there." And so, you know, I'm driving and seeing and hearing her, and I'm thinking, I'm praying, and everything will be okay. We go to the ER, and she's admitted, and they said, "Well, we cannot have a CAT scan right now because of chances of cancer later on. And so the only thing is we have to wait and see how she reacts. In the meantime, she's asking every 30 seconds, where am I? What happened?" You know, and then again, the same question and the same question. And you are hoping and praying that there is nothing, you know, inside the brain is not bleeding. So long story short, after 4 hours that we were staying in the hospital, she was able to remember more things, and apparently, you know, she had a little bit of headache afterwards and the day after. But again, thankfully, you know, nothing else happened. So a big praise to God, you know, because He's watching over us, you know, even though sometimes we don't even think about it. But again, it reminds me, though, as a Father, we want the best for our kids, and how much more God wants for the best for us.
Amen. You're in good company, because when I was probably a little younger than you, I fell off the back porch and hit some cement and broke the cement with my head, and my brother, showing his medical prowess at that time, diagnosed me with iron head. That became my name after a while.
Continuing with prayer, last time we had this testimony and prayer session, I asked for prayer from me and my family, and I can honestly say that this church has helped me a lot, and even from day one, and from years ago, 16 years ago when Laura lost her baby, and even before that, this church has just meant so much to me. And so thank you. I want to thank you all for your prayers and your continued prayers, because we know how loss is to each one of us. And for Dave and his family, I'm definitely praying every day for them, because it's not an easy thing. It doesn't matter if you expect it or don't expect it. So thank you so much for your prayers and continuing to lift each other up. And I'm happy to pray for any of you anytime. If you just come up and tell me, ask me, I will put you down in my prayer book and pray for you every day. So I just want to thank you for your prayers for me and my family.
Thank you, Martha. And this is true of her. I met her in the parking lot, and I had a washer and dryer in the back of my pickup, and she wouldn't know what that was for. And I said, "I'm taking it to my daughter, who just got a job in Eureka, and she's down there." And she grabbed a book and she says, "Where is she?" She wrote down her name. I'm going to pray for her in Eureka.
Well, I just want to thank God for all He's done for me lately. I was in the hospital for 16 days, and He's with me every moment, and he's given me more days to live now, and I want to do his will.
I agree with Rod. I don't like speaking. Some of you hear me, you think, he enjoys speaking. But I like doing it when I'm right across from my customer and it's just the two of us. So I've never met a stranger, but I will say this. When I was a kid, I'd listen to my dad talk, and I'm like, man, I will never be able to talk like that. But there's something that you get. It's an amazing blessing when you share. And I have to say, every time I've shared, I am blessed. It's like I can feel the Holy Spirit pouring out a blessing. And I have three things, two blessings and one prayer request. And actually four things. I'm praising the Lord for kids. This week we were having worship. And I was talking with my boys and we were talking about, they were like, well, let's have worship with this little book. And I'm like, but that's a kid's devotional. You're not really going to have a real good devotion with that. And I'm like, you're teenagers now. And, you need to have, a devotional time. So later on that week, we were driving to an install, and we're driving along, and my son's, he brought that little devotional book, and he's reading it, and he's having his devotions, and I'm like, tomorrow, I'm really proud of you. That's awesome. And he's like, why don't you read it out loud? Actually, I think he recommended. He said, do you want me to read this out loud to you? And I'm like, yeah, because I haven't had devotions yet today. And here I am driving to do an install, and I have 12 hours of work to do in the next 8. And there's no way how is this? I'm totally going to miss having devotions. So he reads this little devotional time. And as he's reading, I'm thinking to myself, wow. That's a little devotion, but it's time with God. How am I to misjudge the quantity when it's all about quality? And so we had a good talk afterwards, and I apologized to him. I said, I'm wrong. I have to apologize to you. What we talked about the other night about, the little devotional not being as valuable, I'm like, that actually is very valuable, because there's times when you only have a few minutes, but God wants those few minutes. And so I learned a lot, and I was blessed. The other thing is, we were working up on a scissor lift, removing graphics off a sign this week, and I don't know how many of you know, I used to own a sign shop in Texas and gave it all up and left everything in Texas. And I am blessed and thankful every moment of the day for that. Who wants to travel around with 4 18-wheeler fulls of stuff you've just collected because you have a hereditary gene that is, never mind, we won't go there. Those are tools I needed. And so later on here at a garage sale, I saw two harnesses. And I asked the guy, I know what these are for. When you're up high on a scissor lift, you have to, or a scaffold or whatever, you're supposed to be harnessed off. He's like, yeah, you can have both of them, $25. I was like, oh, my word. Well, I don't really have that, but I know I'll need them at some point. And so my boys were up high working on the scissor lift with me this week, peeling graphics off, and I was praising the Lord that I had those because it was keeping us safe. And we weren't in the scissor lift. We had built this concoction that came out of the scissor lift about 2 feet with some amazing pallets. I won't tell you where we got them, but we were standing on these pallets and peeling graphics off because the sign below us came out so far the scissor lift wasn't able to get close. And that was a successful, wonderful experience as well. The last is a prayer request from my wonderful wife. she has had surgery on both of her wrists and has had a lot of pain in the past, and the surgeries were supposed to fix that. And yet, one of it has, and then the other one, unfortunately, she fell, and she thought she sprained her wrist, but she didn't want to tell the doctor because she was having surgery like in 2 days on the other wrist. So she's like, if I tell them, they'll probably postpone the surgery, so I won't tell them. So she didn't. And then she had the other surgery, and so after they found a torn something in her wrist, and they go, wow, this happened in the past, we'll fix that. So they fixed that. But instead of you just having a little cast, now we're going to put you in a cast for 6 weeks. So her right hand was in a cast for 6 weeks, and she had to use her left hand. And her left hand had had surgery a couple months previous. So, and of course, she never really, you know, takes the time to rest anything that you tell her to. You know, don't use your wrist. Well, that doesn't happen. So she carries around our little puppy German Shepherd this week, and she was on her way back from moving the car this morning so I could get out and get over to church, because she was singing and having special music this morning at another church. And I mistakenly left the hitch extender on my van, and she tripped on that this morning, but didn't let the little puppy fall. She was still holding our monstrous, huge little puppy German Shepherd, and she hit the gate with her wrist and tried to, you know, stop herself from falling. And that's the one that she's been complaining about for the last 3 days, has been, like, extremely painful. She goes, I don't know why it's coming back. It's like, I just got my cast off. And so that's my prayer request, is that the Lord will take that pain away.
Your scissor lift palette concoction sound like many things that I made in the past that ran my guardian angel ragged. Yes, ma'am.
When Colleen called me this week and asked me to give a testimony, I had one all written out. However, Kevin gets up this morning and says we're supposed to praise the Lord, and my testimony is not an upper. So instead, I've decided to change my testimony, Colleen. I went to visit Ron in the hospital this morning, and there's good news. He's very much with it. He's not out of it like he was the last surgery, and he's doing well. The doctors have told Eldon Carval that they are optimistic that they got all the cancer, and he did not know that. So when I told him, he actually cried, and I've never seen Ron cry. So I just want to praise the Lord, because I think I witnessed a miracle this morning.
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
Amen.
So I'll save my testimony for another time when it's not supposed to be praiseworthy.
We'll just have you preach. Ron crying. Woo! That is a miracle.
So I was asked to think of what God is doing in my life, right, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. Give praise to God and be grateful. And so that was a great opportunity to think about it. And I think about three things. One of them is prayer partnership. A few years ago, God impressed me to get a prayer partner, and my first thought was Janelle. And I thought, oh, no way, she's way too busy. So I started trying to think and pray about who I could ask. I happened to run into her and told her that I was looking for a prayer partner, but I realized she was busy. And she said, oh, no, my schedule just opened up. And so we've been praying together for about 4 years now, and it's been amazing. It is so wonderful. I have grown as a Christian. My prayer life has improved. It is an amazing experience, and I'm amazed at how many times God has done miracles because I know we're probably not the only people praying for circumstances, but we've seen a lot of miracles that we've been able to praise God for on things we've been praying about. When I feel like I need encouragement, she's there. When she needs it, I'm there for her. And so it's nice to have somebody like that. And we don't get together, you know, like some people get together once a week. We call in the morning. We Monday through Friday, we'll call each other and just talk about what it is we need to pray about, and then we'll spend a little time taking turns praying. And I would just like to encourage you, if you have someone that you trust and that you feel you could partner up with, it's like a bigger ripple in the pond. I mean, I know God hears our prayers when we pray individually, but there's something about praying together. It's powerful. The second thing I was thinking is that in ministry, 4 years ago, I did not know how to play the guitar, and now this year, God is using me as a worship leader, and I'm just amazed by that. It's such a privilege. I absolutely love to serve him that way. It brings me joy. When I was about a little over 2 years ago, I was on the nominating committee, and they needed somebody to do women's ministry. There hadn't been a women's ministry here in years. And so at first I thought, you know, I'm sure there's people that would be better at it. I'm not qualified, and it's a big job. But then I realized, you know, if I do something, it's going to be better than nothing. So I took it on. But, you know, it's been wonderful because God has been leading it. I just follow him and his lead, and I have learned. And it's kind of fun. When you're in a ministry where you're ministering to others, you get it firsthand from God, and then you share it. And so it's really exciting. It is exciting to be on the front lines and see God work. So I would encourage you, even though you may not feel qualified, or it might seem like a mountain that's too big, when you follow God and you let him lead, you can do amazing things that you never knew you could do. And the last thing I want to share with you is that, it's easy for us to think that other people have it all together and you're the only one that fails. And I can tell you, this last week especially, my schedule has been ridiculous. I have been running so hard from one responsibility to the next that I haven't had time to spend with God like I would want to. And I know it's important to spend time with him every day if you want to have that kind of relationship and strength in your life. But when life gets busy, it's hard. And it's easy for me to feel bad about myself. Oh, I've neglected that most precious relationship with him. But you know what I've noticed is that I can beat myself up, but I don't get that from God. God is very patient and very kind. He reminds me gently while he patiently waits for me to come to him. So I want to encourage you, because I'm sure I'm not the only one who gets busy and forgets time with the Lord. And so don't worry about the failures of yesterday. God wants you to rise up in his strength today.
I just want to respond to something Charlene said, that she didn't feel qualified to lead. Well, you know, there's a little saying that I just love. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God is who is working through you. It's not you working. It's him working through you.
Hi, my name is Julie Graham, and I'm new to this area. This is my husband, Calvin Graham. We used to live in Milo and for 5 years across the academy. And I've been looking for a church that I can feel like I'm part of the family. It's been a while because I was used to being the Philippines, where I got converted to become a Seventh-day Adventist. I was born and raised a Catholic, and all my family members are Catholic. And when I first, I looked online for churches here. So I live in Central Point. And the first time I've been in this church, I can just feel the warmth of the members, and I can feel God in this church. So I'm so thankful that I found this church. And we're going to move our membership here. I just started working as a new grad RN at the Rogue Regional Medical Center. And I used to be an agriculturist in the Philippines, and I'm so thankful to God for leading me to become a nurse. I never thought I would become a nurse, but now that I'm a nurse, I am so happy. We cannot, as nurses, we cannot openly say to our patients that we pray for them, But in my heart, when I talk to them, I pray for them, each one of them. And I'm so thankful to God for that. And also, I just started working nights and driving home in the morning from working 12 hours is it's really tough for a new driver. So I always pray to God because I almost fell asleep driving in the freeway, just even just a 12 minutes drive from the hospital. So I praise God for always keeping me. And I'm praying that I will be able to share my talent in this church. I used to be a youth leader in the Philippines, and my adopted mom was the treasurer, and I also help her with that. And I just love kids, so if you want children's story, you can approach me. I've never used my talent for almost 6 years I've been in the U.S., and I just want to praise God, and we are not supposed to keep all talents to ourselves. We're supposed to share it to all God's family. So I'm so thankful to find this church.
We'll see you after church, and we'll fill out the list.
Boy, you walk into that one. No, just kidding. Thank you, and welcome. Beth, I know we've got, like, food waiting over here soon, so maybe we'll end with you.
I'll try to make it quick. Growing up, I somehow missed some important lessons on who God is. I ended up with a picture of God that a lot of people have, that he was this big, powerful guy just waiting, lurking, watching for me to mess up and do something wrong. I knew that he loved me, but it was kind of like how my dad loved me. My dad loved me when I was good. But if I was bad, he didn't like me at all, and I was punished. I've always been the kind of person that sort of wears my heart on my sleeve, so it wasn't hard for Dad to punish me. All he had to do is get that look and say, "I'm so disappointed in you." And I'd burst into tears, and my heart would be broken, and I would promise never to be bad again. But, of course, I'm human, and something would happen, and there we go again. Same thing with God. I did everything I could to make sure he loved me, but it was impossible. I spent the first 30 years of my life trying to earn my way into heaven. When the nominating committee would call, I would do whatever they said because I thought, you know, if I do this, then God's going to love me. You know, then I'm doing the right thing, and God will love me. So I did that for a long time. Everything there was to do in the church, I did it. But then some things happened in my church that hurt me badly, and I gave up, and I just walked away. I spent the next 30 years of my life kind of ignored God. I knew he was there because once in a while something would happen that would have to be, you know, it could only be a God thing. But I kept turning my back. He even gave me an example one time of how he was. There was a childhood friend that I grew up with, and I had turned my back on her, ignored her for 12 years. But then my brother died, and at the memorial, I looked up, and there she was with her arms out saying, "I couldn't let you go through this without me." God does that for us all the time. He's there with his arms out, saying, "I can't let you go through this without me." But I still turned my back. Some more years went by and things started changing. You know, God doesn't give up on us. And there were people praying for me. When Jonelle was talking about intercessory prayer, that's so important. Because people were praying for me. And two of them were my aunt and uncle. And they gave me a book. And I thought, yeah, like, this is really going to happen. But I read it, and not too far into it was the thing that God wanted me to find. God loves me. Nothing I can do will make him love me any more than he already does, and nothing I can do will make him love me any less. He loves me just who I am, just how I am. But he loves me enough not to leave me that way. I'm already forgiven. Jesus did that for me. I don't have to constantly be begging turn myself into something that I'm not. About this time, I discovered something else. I found my Bible. I've had one all my life. I've read it all my life. But it was just kind of a history book that had stories in it that were kind of interesting. But all of a sudden, when I was praying about it, and he and my friends were praying, and my family, it turned into something different. And every time I open my Bible, there's something in it that speaks directly to me, something that I need for that day. I don't know how God did that. I don't understand, because he knew when it was written that someday Beth's going to need that. And he put it there for me to find. I don't have to understand everything he does or how he does it. But what I do understand is that he loves me. And I want to spend the rest of my life thanking him and praising him and trying to help other people find this same joy.
I'm going to keep this short, as short as I can. I was gone last weekend, and my mom and my sister were doing song service up front, and I was just, I never really thought of it, but I mean, I don't really want to date myself or any of you out there, but I'm turning 21 in a month and a half. And with that being said, I realize that you guys are my second family, and I never really gave it much thought because, you know, I'm just coming to church every Saturday and stuff, but Abby and I and my whole family, we have been here since I was born. And Kevin and Rod, the Polies, the Bornemans, and most of you have known me since before I was born. That's just a crazy thought to me. You know, but when I was gone last week and I came back, my sister had told me that my mom made some funny comment about me leaving for the day or the weekend. But it put into my mind the thought of, like, the actual real church family that I have here is and how much you guys mean to me, and just saying thanks. But on top of that, it's like just finding out, you know, when my parents aren't here, a lot of you will ask, oh, where's your mom and dad, you know, and stuff like that. Or I find out when I'm not here, Abby's here, you guys will ask about us when we're gone. Like, that's what family is, and we appreciate that so much because, like, to my sister and I, we've never really voiced it, but most of you know about my family and how hard it was growing up with my parents and everything like that. And I don't know, I've never really gotten to say thank you. Like, when I heard that Pastor Walter was leaving, it hit me hard because I'd realized he was here for, what, 10 years? But he had arrived kind of in the middle of that whole scenario, and he became like a second dad to me. So I just, on behalf of me and my sister, my whole family that's not here, I just want to say thanks. Because it never really hit me until like last weekend when I was talking to my friend that I went down and visited about you guys asking and my mom making some funny comment of how long that we've been here. But it's not just that. It was like getting to know all of you, the people that came in as I was growing up, but then all of you that have been here before I was even here, and realizing just how real this church family is. And all of that, especially with everything that my whole family's gone through, I just want to say thank you.
I think in these last days, there's going to be a more clear distinction as God pulls his protection away between what Satan desires, which is the destruction of all God's creation. He knows he's lost the battle. He wants to destroy all that he can. And God's way, which is just, true, and full of love. And I think it's our job as his advocates on earth to point to that distinction so that many will be able to find that. The last verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." And I think that's what we've done here. And I want to thank you for opening up and contributing and sharing and for lifting each other up and encouraging. And I ask that it not be cloistered within these walls, that it doesn't end at the doorway, that we continue in assisting this family's need, and that we extend that to God's family at large, wherever we find ourselves in our daily lives.
As we always do, we'll end our worship with a song. Song number 531. No, excuse me, 530. It is well with my soul. 530. Please stand as we sing.
Father in heaven, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being with each individual here, whether or not they feel you or not. I know through your promises that you're there always. I pray that they'll be sensitive to your reaching and stretching to them. Father, if there's any need that we can be a worker for you, I pray that we are humble and open to your urgings and that we will help where needed. Thank you for each person here. Please protect them and watch over them and bless this Sabbath and our communion with you and each other. In Jesus' name, amen.